Welcome to Your Infinite Health. Are you getting older?
Are you feeling it?
How would you like to do that in reverse?
We're your host,
Dr. Tripp
and Lene.
We've run an integrative medicine practice for 13 years.
Together, we have 60 years of combined experience helping clients.
We've helped tens of thousands achieve success in health and live longer, happier lives.
In this show, we'll cover peer-reviewed and evidence-based integrative approaches to creating the health you've always wanted.
We also share professional experience we see in the field every day.
So if you're ready to feel, look, and live your best life, you're in the right place.
Welcome to Your Infinite Health Podcast.
Hey, Tripp.
Hey, Lene.
Got your microphone in front of your mouth yet there?
There it is.
I just got done putting this new little two-seater couch together without your help. Thank you very much. Henry helped me, but only after watching me struggle. So, you know, I vaguely remember my parents getting furniture and like it came assembled.
Right.
And I don't think in my adult life I've ever ordered anything that came assembled. Like you either have to pay to get it assembled or you have to do it yourself.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you might be old enough to have had furniture that was already assembled. I don't think I've ever seen
delivered.
You assemble anything, actually.
Yeah. I do recall my more recent memories of assembling everything.
You don't assemble anything.
I assemble everything.
Oh, you're so funny. I don't even think you know how to work an Allen wrench. Anyway, we got it up, and he plopped down really hard on it and then started criticizing it, so... It's a little pleather thing that I thought would be easy to clean and a little more modern looking since our newest team member, Marie, was criticizing what I had, saying that it looked like it belonged on somebody's patio. So I was trying to upgrade, but like conservatively upgrade, which is why I had to put the darn thing together myself.
So interesting that Marie said it looked like it needed to be. So you got a new couch because of Marie. But when I critique something, okay, yeah.
and there's an issue here because I'm not sure why. So anyway, that's what I've been doing. And I feel all hot and sweaty and whatnot. But I wanted to, before I do what I wanted to do, I have a joke.
Oh, a joke.
I know you didn't see that coming.
No.
That wasn't the joke. Okay, when's the best time to call your dentist?
I'm not sure.
At tooth hurty.
Right. 2:30. I got it. There. Great joke. Tooth hurty.
Tooth hurty. Nothing like waiting to the last minute to call the dentist.
Right.
So anyway, okay. So today's episode is inspired by, we're going to go back to Marie again, who had a friend call her and start going off about how a breast specialist told her that progesterone causes breast cancer and that Marie should not be on progesterone and that women should not be on progesterone. But this is also someone who is also only getting bioidentical hormone replacement therapy monthly, which like I don't even understand. So right. I wanted you to talk about this. I want to say it's misinformation, but I want you to talk about that.
It's an interesting, I guess it's an interesting perspective, especially, I mean, you bring up the validity of the concern of that individual, and at the same time, kind of in the same breath, her talk about her. I guess it's a postmenopausal hormone replacement therapy that she's getting, and correct. I mean, the metabolism of the hormones that are administered exogenously from the outside are consumed within the process of 2 to 3 weeks. So,
wait, where are you going with this? Because I wanted to start with the progesterone
cancer
issue first, but I also want to get to the other one. But let's start with the
validity.
The validity of, does progesterone cause breast cancer? Because when I went to Google and I tried to find information, I couldn't find current data, and all the old data seemed to support the allegation.
Old data. Old data, I guess, being anything prior to any of the large national studies, either here, which was a Women's Health Initiative, or and the trials that followed that in the early 2000s, or I think there was a large British trial, trialist group that also looked at female estrogen replacement postmenopausally. And yeah, those were large trials. And certainly the Women's Health Initiative study, you know, everyone knows their critiques there, more or less, or they should, that a number of conclusions were drawn from the data, not entirely erroneously, but the lay press that got a hold of the information misrepresented the interpretations horrendously, which led to almost a complete stop for a fairly long period of time in the administration of estrogens to women, and progestatives also, which subsequently followed, because there were a number of trials that then questioned the use of progestatives or progestins, and all of these trials, interestingly, were done not with hormones that were bioidentical, meaning having the same molecular structure as the hormones that are produced by females, but by the use of synthetics that did not have a bioidentical structure. And all of those studies were associated with increased risks of cancer and cardiovascular disease and all sorts of things. And so it led to almost a complete halt of the administration of those medications, which probably in and of itself, the progestins and the estrogens being stopped is not a bad thing, because they're synthetics and they do have potential long-term complications of cancer risk and atherosclerosis and those things. But and only typically led to an improvement in short-term side effects, the short-term side effects of menopause, which were the hot flashes and that, maybe some of the moodiness. So yeah, that's that led to, I guess, if the progesterone question, let me get back to the progesterone question, is a fairly short question, really. I think the question was raised, and once again, it was the methyl progesterone acetate, which is a synthetic created by the pharmaceutical industry that had significant progestative effects. However, all of the trials that were performed using those synthetics were associated with increased breast cancer risk, and interestingly, it was only later that some perspective was taken, and the conclusion was saying, well, you know, we're generalizing the effects here of progestins to bioidentical progesterone, and virtually none of the trials had bioidentical progesterone used in them. So, and even though on a biological basis, and you take a look at the in vitro and animal data that has been generated using the synthetics, and that basically have shown these increased risk and increased affinity to the receptors, to the progesterone receptors, and the question about progesterone receptors in and of themselves is another whole issue. But all of those studies drew the conclusions of increased cancer risk, and so many of the physicians out there may be still working on the information that was provided by by those studies and are not familiar with the bioidenticals, and that none of the bioidentical studies have ever shown any increased risk for any type of cancer.
Okay, so for clarification, the cancer risk is related to synthetic progesterone, not to bioidentical progesterone.
Correct. So there's, and in the,
why are so many doctors giving bad data to their patients and freaking them out unnecessarily?
They're unaware. I don't know.
Yeah, you've got an ignorant doctor talking to a histrionic woman who goes and calls her friends. I mean, that's dangerous.
Well, and you know, you look back at the Women's Health Initiative trial, where, you know, hundreds of thousands of women were analyzed, and they drew those conclusions and everything. And there has been subsequent studies of the nefarious outcomes that occurred because of the misrepresentation of the data by the lay press. And literally, the calculations involve hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of women who have suffered disease and lifetime compromise because of the printing of that and the effect that it had on the medical community. So that I think is the more unfortunate outcome of that misrepresentation. So, and it takes a critical review and a critical mind to think about and present data, and it takes time to review that data. And I think one of the challenges that most physicians have these days is as they have very busy practices, and maybe after working, you know, 8, 10, even 12-hour days, they're not the most inclined to want to go home and critically evaluate.
You know, I understand that, and that's fine. At the same time, somebody shouldn't be talking out their ass. You know, if you don't know, and you know that you're not current on the on information that these days changes so fast, like information, it's just going, it's almost like technology. It just happens so fast.
The time of medical information now is about 3 months.
Okay. Well, so my point is, if you don't know, have the gumption, the wherewithal to acknowledge that you don't freaking know and refer that patient to someone who does. It's okay not to know a thing. It's not okay to start spewing out information out your butt.
Or at least to say, let me verify.
Minimally.
Yeah.
I think the most dangerous people are the people who don't have the wherewithal to say, I don't know, let me find out, or I don't know, let me send you to somebody who does. If your doctor's not willing to do that, get a new doctor.
Well, most people aren't in a position to think that, though.
Yeah.
Think about it. I mean, you trust most people go to their doctor and continue going to their doctor because they trust the advice that they're being given. So there, many people don't even ask that question. And it's only when faced with somebody who has the knowledge base to be able to give the right information, then that they are able to receive it.
Yeah, it's a quandary, I suppose, because if you don't know, you don't know. You don't know what you don't know from a patient perspective. But a physician has a critical thinking brain, and I think they have the wherewithal to say, let me dive deeper or let me refer you, you know? Maybe the patient doesn't, but the doctor definitely should. That's my 2 cents on that.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, succinct recap real quick. Don't take synthetic progesterone. It is linked to cancers, including breast cancer. You may be eligible and may benefit from bioidentical progesterone. Ask a specialist who studies it and who knows.
Absolutely. The combination, a balanced combination of progesterone and estradiol is life prolonging, quite frankly, for postmenopausal women.
Cool. Okay. Part B. Part B. You are on bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, but you're only getting it once a month. What is up with that? And does it work?
Well, not being privy to the exact type of treatment that individual is taking, it's kind of hard to say. I'd hate to presume that she's getting inadequate treatment, but
I presume. I'm not the doctor. For clarity, I'm not a medical professional, but I presume that that's exactly what's happening.
It's quite possible. Now, bioidentical hormone pellets.
I don't think she was doing pellets.
Yeah, she.
I think she's getting a shot monthly.
A monthly shot.
In case, listener, you haven't figured out, that's not how we roll over here at Infinite Health. And there's a reason why we do what we do. What is that?
Well, I mean, we're using a program that actually replicates a bit of the cycling and maintains at least a good average of estradiol and progesterone levels that would have been present during the reproductive years.
Say that one more time.
So we're using a program that actually replicates the variability in some of the hormone levels, and those hormone levels will represent overall in the context of the treatment, they will replicate more or less the physiological levels, average physiological levels that were present during the reproductive lifetime of the individual.
So I myself am on a weekly injection regimen. Most of our patients are on a weekly regimen, and that is designed to be more akin to the cycle, you're saying?
Somewhat. On the estradiol, it's fairly consistent. I personally use a variable progesterone, bioidentical progesterone.
By the way, listener, I am on progesterone and have no fear of cancer. My husband seems to be very happy about that. Okay, go ahead.
So, yes. So,
in fact, we probably should talk about the benefits because our team, if I'm not compliant with my dosing, my team will ask if I have been taking my progesterone.
I dare not.
You dare not. It's how you get a bottle of progesterone to the forehead. Okay, sorry, I deviated. So go back.
So I modify because there is some data to show that a consistent dosing of progestatives, okay, or progestins, without varying the dosing, is actually associated with a mild. And that was the EPIC trial data, and I think it came out in 2005 or 2008. So some variability in the dose of the progesterone is also good. So I have the program that I use uses that information to vary the levels of progesterone over the course of the month.
But not just the all the hormones.
All the hormones. Our whole program is much more complex than somebody giving hormone replacement therapy, obviously. So it looks at not only the major players like the estradiol, the progesterone, the testosterone, and those. It looks at some of the supportive hormones that have to be present so that those hormones can do their best job and have their best effect. So it's optimization taken to kind of another level, and the outcomes are much better, quite frankly.
Quite frankly. Cool. Well, that's all I got. I wanted to talk about that because it kind of ticked me off for whatever reason. I don't know.
Well, it behooves the individual, and unfortunately we're the paradigm, the medical delivery paradigm is not conducive to, you know, questions and answers and thoughtful, mindful decision making, because it's a kind of a conveyor belt system at this point. You go in, you get to say you have one or two problems, you get a pill, and you're escorted out. So that's kind of conventional reactive medicine.
Interesting. All right. Well, I hope that answered that question for me. I hope it was helpful for y'all, and I hope you found it informational, educational. I don't know how entertaining it was, but maybe a little bit of entertainment. And until next time.
Thanks for subscribing to Your Infinite Health. I'm Dr. Tripp.
And I'm Lynnae. Until next time, feel it, look it, and live it.